Yesterday we spoke about the beginning of the Haggadah, where you have the language of Kol Ditzvich Yesed Yechol, Kol Ditzvich Yesed Yisach. And then I just want to share with you the Ha'ara that my father was very troubled with, namely, Hashata Hocha, Lashon Abba, Barad Yisrael. Translated, now we are here, and next year, where are we? In Eretz Yisrael. Hashata Abdi, now we are Abadin, Lashon Abba, B'nei Chorin. My father was absolutely bewildered by this statement in the Haggadah. What's the pshat in this statement in the Haggadah? We say, Hashata Abdi, now we are Abadin, Lashon Abba, B'nei Chorin. Why are we Abadin? At that time, we had Sedarim in America, and I think we were totally free. Why are we called Avadim? Why does the Baal HaGadah call us Hashata Abdi? And then a moment later it says, Lashana Abba Bnei Chorin, that next year we're going to be free. So there's a double language here. Yeah?
Also, people who are having a Seder, they're Seder in Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. My father was bothered by that too. What's going on over here? Hashata Hocha, Lashana Abba Bnei Chorin. What about someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael? What about someone who does not live in Chutz Laaretz? So the Netziv, in his Haggadah Imre Shefer, addresses both of these questions. And he's concerned about the double language, both Hashata Hocha, and Lashon Haba B'Arad Yisrael, and Hashata Abdi, Lashon Haba B'nei Chorin. So initially he explains, if someone is in Chutz Laaretz, of course, one should always have the Netziv, in Imre Shefer, in his Haggadah Imre Shefer. So he explains the following. It's based on the Pasuk Yemiyo. The truth is, this is Ramban. In Chumash that I've spoken about in the past, the Ramban in Pashas Ekev, Rashi actually in Ekev also reflects this idea. The Navi says in Yemiyo, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chav, Hatzivi Lecha Tziyunim. And the Navi uses that Pasuk, and matter of fact, Rashi in Ekev, and the Ramban is the one who elaborates on this. You're probably familiar with the Ramban, I assume you are. The Ramban contends, and this is a Shita Yechidah, a very revolutionary position of the Ramban, that the Ikur Kiyum HaMitzvos is where? In Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban is not only talking about what kind of mitzvahs, mitzvah Tzuyas Baretz. If we're talking about Shemitah, Terumah Sumaisus, that I understand. Those are mitzvahs that are totally in Eretz Yisrael, on the real estate of Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban is not talking about that. What is he talking about? Even what's called Chovas HaGuf, an obligation that all of us have, whether we're in Chutz Laaretz or in Eretz Yisrael, such as eating matzah. Is that a mitzvah tzuyah baretz? Of course not. Putting up a mezuzah. Is that a mitzvah tzuyah baretz? Of course not. And a slew of other mitzvahs. Ramban says that even those mitzvahs that are not dependent upon the kaga of Eretz Yisrael, where is their ultimate kiyum? In Eretz Yisrael. How does Ramban know that? He quotes this Rashi, he quotes this pasuk, Rashi Neke, he quotes this pasuk Yibiyo, Hatzivi Lecha Tziyunim. Which means that the only reason why the Ramban says we fulfill mitzvahs in California, in L.A., is a practice, a targil, in order to know what to do when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. The ideal, of course, is being in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not saying this. Rashi and the Ramban. Ramban, Machmanides, in Perash Al Torah says it explicitly. You want, I should read the Ramban for you. At the great length, he has a discussion in a number of places. By the way, Kuzari has a similar position, Abid Alevi. If you learn the Kuzari, study the Kuzari, you realize that he also has a similar kind of position. However, many do not agree with the Ramban, because Al Pi Svara, I understand what the Ramban says regarding what kind of mitzvahs are Tluyas Baretz. But regarding mitzvahs she'en and Tluyas Baretz, namely, mitzvahs that are, as I said, Chovas HaGuf, that evolve upon every single Jew, whether you live in Teaneck, New Jersey, or L.A., or wherever you may live. So why should we assume that the Ikur Kiyum HaMitzvahs of these mitzvahs not going to Eretz Yisrael? But that's what the Ramban writes. Ramban has a Shita. He brings many interesting rayas. The Rav used to bring a raya. If I could just borrow the chumash, take out some. You have too much. We've been turning as into his father's base. You have to do it today.
Yeah.
Take a look at the following pasuk in Lech Lecha. So I'll let you thought the bucket of the Ramban are the following psukim, which is really amazing. In the beginning of Parsha Lech Lecha, as you know, there you have the Bris Ben Absorim that we're familiar with. We already discussed it a number of times. Named Hashem is brought told him, but Mabino, that he's going to be a ger, be'eretz lo lohem. We're going to be subjected to what? To oppression, to slavery. for 400 years, and then the Gamma Sagoya Shavon, the Dona Novi. I spoke about this 2 days ago when I discussed whether Kriyas Yamsov is an integral part of the Haggadah or not. We mentioned the Ram does not have in his Nusach Haggadah anything about Kriyas Yamsov that we do have in our Haggadah. The Ram does not have it. Apparently, Kriyas Yamsov seems to be, if you will, a vestigial kind of organ. Namely, something which is not necessarily connected, bonded with the whole idea of the Leil Tesvav, because Rambam only mentions that what is the obligation of Sibbutz Yes Mitzrayim to tell over what happened on Leil Tesvav. And Kriyas Yamsov, we discussed the Gemara in Brachas, if you recall. Maybe what's the Gemara say in Brachas? When did the actual Kriyas Yamsov take place? Was it part of that night of Leil Tesvav? The Pashtus not. Correct? It happened subsequently. Okay, but anyway, let me just show you the Pesukim if I can, if I may. So here, in Lach Lecha, start with the Pasuk of on the bottom of page 46. Which is Perek Tazayin, Perek Yud Zayin, when Avram is 99 years old, after the bris ben Absarim, Hashem tells him, I'm going to have a bris, and you're going to be Avam on Goyim. You know, that's the Gemara Brachas at the end of the first Perek. You're, of course, familiar with that. What does the Gemara say at the end of the first Perek? Kol HaKore Li Avraham Avram Ovi Basay. You recall that? The end of the first Perek of Brachas. Sorry. If you call Avraham Avinu, Avram, you're over in Asay. And we know, we say it every day. Atah Hashem Elohim Asher Bachata. The Avram. Ve'otzei Simurkaz Dimisam Tashmo, Avraham.
It's just the order.
Correct? But the Gemara asked the Kasha, what about who else
Yaakov
had the name changed? Yaakov's name was changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. So what's the deal over there? Do we say that if someone calls Yaakov with the shame Yisrael over by saying, no, the Gemara does not say that. Both names are used. Matter of fact, one of the conundrums that we showed him talking about at great, great length, when the term Yaakov is used, when the term Yisrael is used, there are all kinds of theories. It's not for now. It needs a few hours of examination. Many Rishonim have a field day with that issue. But the issue is only with Avram and Abraham. What's the distinction between Avram and Abraham? The answer is Avram is Avshel Aram. We spoke about Avram Arami. We spoke about the Pasha of Arami Yovi Lavi. Machlokes Rishonim, whether it refers to Laban or it refers to Avram Avinu. So Avram, which before his name was changed, is Avshel Aram, which means he's a local, parochial kind of father. Mashen Kane. Abraham is what? Av Hamon Goyim. What does it mean, Av Hamon Goyim? Universal father of all mankind. It's a Mishnah Bikurim. The Bible's moved to Mishnah. Mishnah talks about a ger. Correct. How is a ger made the Bikurim? The answer is he's under the banner, under the rubric of Avraham Avinu, who's Av Hamon Goyim. Okay, that's not all. This is just by way of introduction to what I'm about to say. Namely, Pasuk K. You have it. And now, look at the next two psukim. Rav Soloveitchik thought these next two psukim are critical because they are the basis for the Ramban Shita that the Ikakim HaMitzvah takes place where? Dafka? In Eretz Yisrael. What does the Torah say? Look in the Pasuk Zayin, page 47. Vakimosi has brisi b'ni u'menecho. Hashem says, I will establish the covenant between myself and you. Uvein za'acha acharecha l'darosim l'brisolam. Lios l'chal elokim u'za'acha acharecha. I'll be to you as a God. But then right after that, the next pasuk, juxtaposed to this pasuk, is another pasuk. What does it say? V'nosati l'chal za'acha acharecha eis eretz v'gurecha. Eis kol eretz kanan l'achuz ha'salam v'isi l'alem l'alokim. So the term, v'isi l'alem l'alokim, which is found in pasuk ches, also is found in Yud-Zayin, lios l'chal elokim. But it sounds like, where is Hashem going to be, shall we say, that God? Where? Only in?
Canaan.
Only in which land?
Eretz Canaan.
Eretz Canaan, only in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the Gemara in Ksuvas, the Gemara the end of Ksuvas that we studied
last year.
What does the Gemara say in Ksuvas? We started with the end of Ksuvas, if you recall.
Yeah,
what does the Gemara say? Kol Adar b'chutz la'aretz ki'ilu ein lo eloka. Kol Adar b'eretz Yisrael ki'ilu yesh lo eloka. Ki'ilu. Of course, God is in chutz la'aretz as well. God is here and God is there and God is truly everywhere, up, down, all around. And that's what they sing over there in 770, if I'm not mistaken. Kitzur, but I believe we subscribe to that as well. We subscribe to that as well, that Hashem is universal and He is ubiquitous. But here you see, in these two psukim, what do you see, Judah? That apparently this idea of Hashem being our God and the connectivity, as far as what? Kiyam HaMitzvos is dafka where? In Eretz Yisrael. This is the mark of the Akram Ksubis. Said Asalvetchi, and they also he felt the mockery for the Ramban who says that the Ik of Kiyam HaMitzvos is where in Eretz Yisrael. That's a chiddush gadol. The Maral Mi Prague in the Sefer Guraya al Torah disagrees with the Ramban, takes issue with him. Why would you assume the mitzvah matzah should only be mekuyim where? In Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah matzah would seemingly, this right here, would seemingly have clearly universal kind of relevance. Okay, but I'm going back now to Pshat and this, let me just finish this idea. It's just a bit long-winded, I'm sorry. And the Netziv makes the following suggestion. And what it says over here, Hashata Hocha, now we are here, the Shana Abog, we're the Arad Yisrael. That's basically every Jew has to have this tshuka, this desire. There's another Gemara Ksubas. Abraham Salvation, that's how, was very fond of quoting another Gemara Ksubas. Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, and the Gemara says that who is a citizen of Eretz Yisrael? One who was born there, and one who has a great desire, a tshuka, to live in Eretz Yisrael. All of us should have a desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. I was lucky to learn in Eretz Yisrael in 1971-72. And from that point on, my tshuka of Eretz Yisrael, I became inflamed with the idea of living in Eretz Yisrael. And Arayom Hazeh, Baruch Hashem, I still have that flame, the flame, the torch is burning in me. And that's what you also should have developed and should continue to develop Mitzvah Hashem based on the fact that you're learning Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we say over here. It's basically, what is the Navi telling them? In Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, so the Ramban quotes his pasuk and Rashi and Ekev, that the whole idea of fulfilling mitzvahs in St. Louis, Missouri, is only as a hekatim, so to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we say over here. That's how the Nesiv understands this line. Hoshata Hocha, Hoshana Abba, Barad Yisrael. That's one. Now we say a second statement. Hoshata Abdi. What exactly does that mean? That clearly now we are Avodim. But Avodim means in what sense? Avodim does not necessarily mean in a physical sense. Avodim can mean in a spiritual sense. That a person is an eved to what? To, shall we say, secular culture. A person is an eved to mores of the secular world. A person is mired in all the, shall we say, the hashkafic universe of the secular world. That's not a good thing. That means you're an eved. Or the Gemara says, we saw the Sugin Tzubis. You remember with Rabbi Stigeris? What does the Gemara say? It's also Sugin Gittin. Abda Behefker and Nicholai. An eved basically wants to lead a life of Hefker. The Gemara discussing Ksubis, is it a schus or a chov to become a ger, to become a Jew? So the Gemara distinguishes between a young child and someone who's older. Someone who's a young child, of course, it's a schus to become a Jew. But an older person is already wallowing in his typhus, in sensuality, the Gemara is not convinced that it's a schus because, on the contrary, Abdu Ben Keri Nichole, he likes the life of Hefke that he leads. What?
In the first parak?
Correct. The first parak of Ksubis, he likes the life of Hefke that he leads. So for him, it's not necessarily a schus. That's the idea that we're explaining over here, namely, that we should be zocher to become b'nei chorin. In what sense b'nei chorin? B'nei chorin in the sense that we are, shall we say, free. Free of what? Free of? Taibis. We are free in the sense that we are connected to Hashem Yisbarach, and we are connected to different values and to a different world. And that's the whole idea, exactly, that's mentioned in terms of this double language that we see over here, found in the Balagol. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Question on this. Good question. For the first one on this, isn't that going against the Pshat, though, that if we were still, like if we never left Egypt, we'd still be enslaved?
By the way, that is another statement that requires attention. And we actually referred to it once.
Yeah, we spoke about it. We said we'd still be under, like, there's... Like,
either...
We wouldn't physically be there, so
correct.
Like, spiritually still...
Yes, even though we would have, let's say, been emancipated physically,
right,
we would have escaped. Although Chazal, I mentioned the Rishonim, the Medrash, that Chazal said that Egypt was a fortress.
Right.
And no one could escape Egypt. Literally a fortress. But even assuming that somehow a person would be able to escape, well, the assumption we'd still be under their mores, under their culture, under their values, under their philosophic, ideological, shall we say, influence. And that's why, without Matan Torah, without, had we not been subject to Matan Torah, we would still be Rachman al-Mitzvah Meshubat. So, I don't think it's a stira.
So, like the Netziv is saying that now we're in that... Now we're like under their spiritual thing, but only then we'll be free. Whenever then is.
But what does that mean? Well, he understands that Sim is saying that he understands that through the mitzvahs that we have a kayin, namely matzah, all the other mitzvahs alayla that we are fulfilling, so that itself will lead to because ein lecha ben chorin al misha osik batara. That's a mishnah pirkei avos, right? The ben chorin is someone. By the way, people have a mistake, and that really I want to clarify this matter. What does freedom mean? Is freedom to, or is it freedom from? People have a misunderstanding what exactly the nature of freedom is. Freedom means, the way people think, I can do whatever I want. That's what the Gemara says, Abdu Bevker Nicholai. And Eved is free. In what sense? That he lives a life of Hefker. So he thinks he's free. He's not free. He is a slave to his desires, to a streetcar named Desire. That's what he's a slave to. He's Meshubah to his Titus. That's what the Gemara says in Ksuba and in Gittin, and that's the issue I just discussed a moment ago. He's saying that Klal Yisrael, Hashem Yisbarach, imposed upon us the Mitzvah Matzah and Korban Pesach, and that schus will be zochet to become Geulim, will be zochet to become, shall we say, free. It means why are we involved in the Torah of Matzah? So we should be zochet to Geula, but he's referring to a different type of Geula that I just mentioned a moment ago. I don't see a stira between these two ideas. I think they complement each other to a large extent.
So however, yeah. it's freedom from leaving.
We're talking about the freedom that we want to achieve, of course, is to become Jews who are involved in the study of Torah. Because Torah helps us, in effect, transcend our desires. Now, the only way that a person can transcend his desires, the Rambam writes at the end of his Surah Bia, he says that if a person is involved in the study of Torah, only through Limud HaTorah, Bihiyun, Bikias, whatever a person does, will be able to escape his desires. There's no other way to do it. A person should control or direct his Yetzer Hara in a positive kind of way. That's a real Ben Chorim. Ben Chorim is, as I said, freedom. But what does freedom mean? Again, freedom means not being enslaved to my desires. That's what real freedom is. That's the idea of a Ben Chorim, of someone involved in the study of Torah. That's the ideal as far as Ben Chorim is concerned. Yeah?
My friend told me about Rav Nimantzal, and there was like a Kiruv trip that went through Rav Nimantzal and he spoke. And after the whole shiur, first of all, like, I think a girl asked Rav Nimantzal, after she was going out with it was completely non-affiliated at all, she asked Rav Nimantzal how many dates she wanted to go on before they get married, and at this time she was dating her boyfriend for like 2 years. So it was like 3 dates and he should get married. So like everyone was like laughing and everything like that. Then at the end of the shiur, there was a blind guy on the trip, and he called, he went to Rav Nimantzal, and he says, what do you do that you light up a room so much? The blind guy said, how do you bring so much joy? How do you light up the room? So Rav Nimantzal did an answer, and then he asked him again. He says, I try to learn. He's like, I try to learn some Torah.
Okay. Yeah. No question, that's the way to light up a room. I mean, Vayud, Ma'isa'ayva, Vazimar Sevigilam, Ayva Zu,
Torah.
That's the Makar Brand there, it's all. Okay, I'm going on to the Manishtana.
Sorry.
Now, here we just, yeah.
Last, sorry. Also, just the source that people have come from again at the end of Israel. Is Ramban?
The Ramban is exactly the bucket for that. I heard from Rabbi Lichtenstein Zatzal. He told me that he heard from Rav Hutner Zatzal, Paraditzlach, Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, when he would go to Eretz Israel, even though you already put on Tulum Chutzars, he put on Tulum again in Eretz Israel. Because it's a different, the nature of the mitzvah, I mean, it's a chiddush golem. It's based on the Ramban, exactly what they're saying.
Should we do everything?
That's exactly what apparently Avodah was telling us. But it's based on the Ramban, this is source of this idea. Okay, in Manishtana, you have, of course, a number of questions that we are all familiar with. Number one, we have a general question. Manishtana, Al-Azem Kalaylos. Of course, the answer is pretty obvious. Why this night is different than all the other nights? What's the answer? Because this night we left Egypt. This night is Asal to the Gula. Correct? The Gemara says in Brachas that where were they? Okay, maybe you'll share with us what he said in a moment. But they were Nigal Miba'era. That Gemara in Brachas, Gemara of Tess. That they were Nigal, they were redeemed actually at nighttime. Even though you don't really find this in the Haggadah itself, but this is by way of introduction to the whole discussion. Then we have the following questions. But I should mention that why does it say Halayla Hazeh Loshen Zohar? The Gaon is this kasha, and the Gaon actually answers that Layla Hazeh. There are a lot of mitzvahs, so Layla Kayom Yoyer. That's why it's called Loshen Zohar. Like Kayom, which is Loshen Zohar. But whatever the case is, in general, in Tanakh, the word Layla is always Loshen Zohar, and the Torah Tmima points this out. But just back into the questions themselves. Shabbat Halaylos Anolchum Chamitzu Matzah Halayla Hazeh Kulo Matzah. The Rav, one of his cute comments. You know, there's a people have a practice, a minhag. These are all minhag. When do people stop eating matzah? When?
When do you stop eating
matzah? No. I'm talking about the course of the year. That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, the day before.
So some actually, Erev Pesach don't eat matzah. That is based on Yerushalmi. Kalocha matzah be'er Pesach, yilubala v'sasa v'es chamid. If you eat matzah and Erev Pesach, I explain to you that matzah is like a kala, And there are seven brachas that the Rishonim bring, the Torah and others bring sheva brachas. You know, you need sheva brachas before you can, shall we say, interact with the kala. You have to have sheva brachas. And here, the matzah is like a kala. You're sort of wedding. There's a wedding taking place on Pesach night, very romantic night. That's why we also say Shir Hashirim. After the Seder, Shir Hashirim, I told you, there's a romance between Hashem Mizbach and Kal Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. Very clear, Rambam per good Hilchos Tshuva. And the kala is the bride, but you can't touch the kala until after Shara Brachas. What are the Shara Brachas? So we shouldn't count over here. Number one, they have the bracha, which is the first bracha that we say on Pesach night, is the bracha Barakat Yechid. Then we have the bracha of Kiddush. Then you have Shachiyonah, that's three. Then the bracha of Karpis is four. Then you have the Karpis, you have the bracha of God, Yisrael, the second coast. It's five. And two brachas, Hamotzi Matzah, and Hamotzi Lachem El Aretz, Alachias Matzah. But so you have seven brachas, and then you have a matzah. So Kalab Lo Bracha, Asur Le Bailo Kenida. That's a very cute little thing, because it's Sheva brachas. You have Sheva brachas. Okay, so now I'm back over here. But Rasul Eshi said from here, what do you say? He said, but I was referring to not just Erev Pesach, which you are correct, Be'ikra Adin, but where are there minhagim? People stop eating matzah starting either from when? Some people start from?
Nisan.
From Rosh Chodesh Nisan, stop eating matzah. Based on the first Mishnah Psochim, Nari Psochim, where the Rashbam writes that the matzah should be chavit to me, and others, what do? They stop eating matzah already from Purim, from Yudalit, a month before, they stop eating matzah. And many had different practices regarding this particular matter.
Is there such a method that people don't eat matzah the whole year?
Some people, I am one of those. No. We basically don't eat matzah the whole year, so I should be able to eat matzah, but let us say there, b'chavivos. Okay, but anyway, so as he said, what do you see from this statement in the Haggadah? Shebuchah, le'as anachum, chamin su matzah, alay, azek kula matzah. You can eat matzah literally every single night of the year, with the exception of Pesach night. As we see from this statement in the Haggadah. The fact of the matter is that it's interesting why it says Halaylo Azed Kulo Matzah. That language is also a bit difficult, but the Gemara actually notes in terms of this particular statement of Manishtana. I just maybe I should point out another comment which I also wanted to mention earlier, that we don't find actually anywhere a mitzvah like we find over here. Where do you find a specific mitzvah to do dafka at nighttime, not during the day? Here it says, Shevacha aleil sanachon chamitzu matzah, because all mitzvahs are b'kuyim ben bayom ben balayla. And now we're being b'kuyim dafka balayla, not bayom. So we ask, manishtana alayla zevacha aleilos. Why is this night different all the other nights? Why here do we have a specific mitzvah that has to be carried out when? Dafka at nighttime. And of course, the answer of course is, what does the pasuk say regarding matzah? Is there a mitzvah to eat matzah during the day?
No.
No? By Erev tochlu matzahs. The mitzvah seder raisa applies by Erev, dafka at night time. During the day, the Rambam writes, can eat potatoes, and eat tomatoes, and eat celery. Eat whatever you want. There's no mitzvah. Now, this is a famous gra. You probably are familiar with it. The Gaon said, there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. Based on the pasuk, shiva seum tochlu matzahs. I'm dafka very into that. I eat a lot of matzah, probably too much, because I'm into the mitzvah kiyumis of eating matzah based on the Vilna Gaon. It's not just the Vilna Gaon, it's a Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim who says this, and it's found also in other sources as well. But I'm just pointing out on this lashon, Shebecha aleil sanachum chamitzu matzah alaylo azeh kulo matzah. In fact, we're stressing the fact that that night, the night is a very charismatic night, the night of Leil HaSeder. There are two nights the Rav used to say are very charismatic. One is Leil HaSeder, and one is Leil Yom Kippurim. Two most charismatic nights of the year. Go ahead.
I was going to ask about that pasuk. What do we do with that pasuk? Tochlu matzos.
But Erev Tochlu matzos.
No, the other pasuk.
Shivas Yom Tochlu matzos. The Gemara asked the Kashim Sochim Kuf Chaf.
Where's that?
The Gemara asked a stira between two psukim, and because one pasuk seems to indicate that there's an obligation to eat matzos 7 days, one pasuk indicates there's a Shesh Yom Tochlu matzos, a stira, two psukim, and the Gemara says, no, Barkas Vashrishi, Yachriya Binem. And therefore, at the end, Barat Tochlu Matzos, the obligation is to eat what? Dafka, and that night. Dafka, Yom, Lo Yom Tavishon, there's a chiyuv to eat. By the way, it's interesting that Hilchos Sukkah, if I'm not mistaken, then you have to look it up again, but Hilchos Sukkah, you have also a din that the Mechaber mentions there's an obligation to eat in the Sukkah on the first night of Sukkah. Is that you're aware of? Based on what? What's the obligation based on? Based on the Zereshava, Tesvav, Tesvav. You know that? There's Gzer Shavah to Chag HaMatzos. That Gemara has Gzer Shavah, Tesva, Tesva to Chag HaMatzos. But the halacha is only the first night. There seems to be an obligation. And again, I'm just indicating, but here the focus is Man Nishtana HaLayla HaZeh Mikol HaLayos. Or for example, we write a little bit after, what I'm going to say. Shebecha HaLayos on the Ochlim, I'll get to this in a moment. Shai Yerokos HaLayla HaZeh. What does it say? Moro. Shebecha HaLayos Einan Mapinu HaFilu Pamechaz HaLayla HaZeh Shtei Pamim. Correct? All this is, why are we doing this? What does Gemara say? The Shisha Latinokos. So the children should be aroused to ask the question. And then finally, Shebecha HaLayos on the Ochlim Ben Yoshi Ben Mesubin HaLayla HaZeh. It's a very famous Rambam. You're probably familiar with the Rambam. When the Rambam writes there, Perek Zayin Chametz Matzah, Chol Dor Vador, Chayiv Adam, Laharas Hasatzma. I mentioned this. Our gifts in the mission is what? Liros Hasatzma, Kiliyatzma Mitzvayim. And the gifts of the Rambam is what? Laharas Hasatzma, Kiliyatzma Mitzvayim. You have to be demonstrative. The Svadim are very demonstrative. On Pesach 9, more so than the Ashkenazim. But that's how, in effect, the Rambam says, when a person has a meal that night, not a Pesach, and he's eating and drinking, he has to do so. Umesiv derecheros. He has to what? Do haseba. What is haseba? Reclining to show that he's what? A ben chorin. To show that he's a free person. And actually, Chazal is a very famous medrash, a very difficult medrash. The medrash says that the beginning of Bishalach. You have Bishalach for a second? Take a look at the beginning of Bishalach in the, I think it's Perachaf over there. The Medrash says that Vayim Shalom Paray Saham Lamacham Alokim Derech Eretz Plushtim Tikarovu Ki Amar Alokim Pen Yinachim Ma'am Yerosu Mechama B'Shem Mitzrayim Ba. And then it says in the third pasuk Vayasei Belokim Esaham. Which pasuk is that?
Yudchet.
Thank you, Yudchet. Vayasei Belokim Esaham. What did Hashem do? He took us in a very circuitous kind of way. But Vayasei is Lashin what? Lashin Haseba. Vayasev Elokim Esom Derech Hamid Bo Yamsu VaChamushim Olo Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. So the Medrash writes, "Mikan Amar Avoseinu Afilani Shemisrael Lo Yochal Ad Sheyaseh." The first Mishnah in Avim Sochim has a smach based on this pasuk in Parsha B'Shalach. But as a zecher for that Hasego, we also have a subin this night as well. The Baal Turim quotes actually this Chazal, and the question is, why does the Klal Yisrael be running away from the Egyptians? On Pesach night, what, they have to go sit down and do haseba ala shulchan? I mean, they're running away from their overlords, from their masters, correct, from their adoneim. Why, in effect, they want to get out of there. They want to get out as quickly as they can, as expeditiously as they can. And also in general, that it's very interesting, the Torah tells us that what is the reason why Hashem led us in a circuitous kind of path? It says that if we were to get involved in war, then we would say, we're going back to Egypt. We don't want any part of this. We had it nice over there. So, in fact, why did Chazal somehow take this pasuk by Aseba Elohim and see in the Derema is the Aseba? To the idea of reclining on Pesach night. And you know, there's a famous Ibn Ezra, which you probably are familiar with, you should be. Ibn Ezra writes in the beginning of Shemos the following. He has the Kasha. It seems very, almost difficult to understand how is it that when the Egyptians are pursuing us here in Bishalach, correct? How many chariots were there? I spoke about this a few days ago. How many chariots are there, Paro?
A lot. 600 chariots.
How many Jews are there who are leaving Egypt? Males, 600,000. Plus, females and children, let's say 1.5 million. Yes, Ibn Ezra, 1.5 million people are not able to stand up to 600 chariots. You hear the question, Judah?
Great
kasha. It's a tremendous kasha. Doesn't make any sense. What does Ibn Ezra answer? A more remarkable answer. Ibn Ezra says that we were a slave mentality. When we say Abadim Hayinu, the Parabim Mitzvayim, doesn't only mean physically we were slaves. We were also mentally in a slave kind of mentality. It means we had, essentially, what is a slave mentality? A slave is not able to go ahead and wage war and go ahead and engage in aggressive. He has no aggressive propensities. To a large extent, he has all his aggressive propensities have been squelched, meaning have been more or less completely and totally eviscerated, expunged, emasculated. He has no sense of someone who is, shall we say, he feels subjected and subjugated to another, to a master. It's a slave mentality that Klal Yisrael had. So when we say, Abanim Hayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim, not just physically slaves. We are also mentally slaves. There's a Hagash of Amdus. How can we go and wage war with, shall we say, a whole group of people? I once mentioned to you, Marshal of Adav Adome. Maybe all of you didn't hear it. I'm on a train in New York City many years ago, decades ago. I'm sitting there minding my own business, learning Chumash, is what I used to do on the trains in New York City when I went to the yeshiva. And all of a sudden, there's pandemonium. I can't imagine there's a gentleman with a sakin, with a knife, who is wielding the knife. And before we know, we see someone with blood. And clearly he had been, shall we say, stabbed by this chap. And everyone is running. I mean, total pandemonium. So I said to myself, I'm sitting there, why are we all running? Let us go take this chap, the stabber, and let us pulverize it. There are hundreds of people sitting on this train.
It was two American
strap hangers. The answer is panic. There was total pandemonium. And so I said to myself, I don't plan on taking him on single-handedly. That's for sure. I quickly packed up my chumash and skedaddled out of there together with the rest of them. Of course, what happened subsequently was someone pulled the emergency cord and the entire train was now black. Pitch black. You can imagine what that did. So the Ibn Ezra basically saying a similar kind of thing. I want to give you a mashal about Adav Adome. That we had the state of Abdus, this mentality of Abdus. And obviously you're not able to go ahead in those circumstances and deal with the issue. Anyway, that's exactly what Hashem is doing over here. It says at the beginning of Mishalach Vayaseh, Elokim Esaham Derech Habit Bar Yamsuf, that Hashem took us in a very circuitous kind of route. It means, what do you want to do? That we should sit down Masubim. What does Masubim mean? We should pretend or proclaim as if we are free. I'll give you another mashal about Adav Adome. I'm involved in Shidduchim. Fair amount. Not as much as the Mashgiach of Yeshiva, because I direct everything to him. But anyway, so I was involved in a Shidduch, where the person was not, shall we say, very smart person, very bright fellow, but he wasn't, his attire left a lot to be desired. And so the young woman who he went with, she was not impressed with his attire. Generally, women tend to look upon that part of the male personality as well, not just his personality, his character, and his intelligence and the like, but also how he appears. That's a very important aspect of one's persona. And so we decided to go ahead and take the gentleman to have a nashery store. We went shopping with him. I wasn't the one directly involved, but I was indirectly involved. I gave him a piece of advice as what we should do, and then we had to raise a fair amount of smackers in order to handle that, which we did, because we felt it was worth it. It was a good shidduch, and it was one. And anyway, he went to the store, so two people took him to a store. They bought him several suits and shirts and literally a whole wardrobe. It cost several thousand dollars. He then appeared on the next day. She was flabbergasted. Absolutely beside herself. This is not the same fellow that she had been with till now. Clearly, not just his attire, but you know what else changed? His whole persona changed. He saw himself as, what's the term that they use here? Yeshiva says they speak of someone who's dressed in a shtadi kind of way.
Spitz.
Spitz, correct. Spitz, you know what spitz means? The acme, the pinnacle.
Outside.
Correct, there's no question that these personas have extra premiums and shum safek. Why do we dress on Yom Tov differently than we do, shall we say, during the week? On Shabbos, you know, the Rav used to quote from Rav Avraham, there are three types of begodim that people have. It's Big Day Chol, Big Day Shabbos, and Big Day Yom Tov. Which one, by the way, is qualitatively the most significant? Yom Tov. The Mishnah Berurah quotes on Rosh Hashanah, you should not wear Big Day Meshi. Apparently, it's to wear silk garments on Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, because of Bina Sadin, you shouldn't wear Big Day Meshi. Do not wear silk garments. But people's attire unquestionably reflects a certain mindset. So on Yom Tov, you want to feel Yom Tov day. So you have to dress Yom Tov day. Shabbos, what does the Gemara say in Shabbos? The Gemara points out over there, let's say a person doesn't have any garments on Shabbos, nothing which is miyuchet for Shabbos. So what does the Gemara say? You shall shal migodah. Quoted by the Rambam, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, what do you do? Okay, they wore togas, Rabbi Yishai, so they can turn it inside out. And you turn it inside out, Yishalsu begodim, because you have to wear on Shabbos different begodim. So it's different once you turn it inside out. But on Yom Tov, you have to have quality begodim. And there are big dechol that people wear in the course of the week. Of course, people who learn in Beis Medrash, while B'nai Torah should also dress in a proper kind of way, which is what the yeshiva tried to convey, but unfortunately, it's hard to convey that to people who have no appreciation of these things. One of the cases, but that's exactly what the Chizonius, as you said, affects one's Libius. Okay, but all this was, simply just to get back to my issue, which is the issue over here, namely the Medrash that says, Vayaseh Yotim Asalam Derech Habib Yamsuk, Mikan, the Kali Soshit Sit Vaseba, and I'll say there, Ma'in Yashmid Zar Sinai. The answer is, if we sit Vaseba, and we act as B'nai Chorin, and we have a certain kind of aristocracy to us, that affects our entire mindset, correct? We feel as if we are now B'nai Chorin, who are sitting around the Shulchan, and that's why we're mechuyah to eat that night by Seba, then I'll say there, in order to demonstrate, in order to have that sense of that hagasha of being B'nai Chorin. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly what the Medrash actually is trying to convey in that respect. But I want to just to add the following. And you know, the Gemara says that when it talks about this halacha of Aseba, the Gemara is very involved in the question, what do you have to eat by Aseba? You know, what has to be done by Aseba? Matzah. What else?
Galkosis
Yayin. What about, let me ask you, the Morah? Why not? Because Morah represents what? The bitterness. I told you, the Rabbi Abnel says there are two aspects to La Aseba. One is the Avdus, one is the Chavis. That's what we are really, there's a lot of electric in place on Pesach night. So things that, of course, represent Avdus, there's no Aseba. Things that represent Chavis, of course, there has to be Aseba, like Matzah, Dalkosis, etc. I just want to read the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam, in terms of Manishtana, a very famous Rambam, so I'll let you get a lot to say about this. It says that Mosgin Kos Hasheni, you pour the second cup of wine, Mekana Ben Shoel, Yom HaKore, Manishtana, Adalizam, Mekalilos, and then you go on to read the entire Manishtana. It's interesting, the Rambam has Yom HaKore, that even though we generally assume that what happens with reference to the Manishtana, who said the Manishtana? What's our practice regarding Manishtana? The youngest child says Manishtana. Where does that come from? Again, because the whole idea of Pesach night is that Sheishal Tzidokos, they should ask all kinds of questions, and we should somehow arouse them to ask questions, and we try to answer their questions. But Lashon HaRambam at the end of the day is that Be'omer HaKore, the Rambam says there's an obligation, that's why those who follow the Nusach HaRambam, I'm happy to go ahead and read the Haggadah separately. That's exactly what I do. In my house, actually, I read the Haggadah, the entire Haggadah. And then those who want to accompany me, can accompany me, those who want to be Yosei, that's an issue of Shomer Ka'onah, I spoke about it already, with the reference to the Haggadah.
The black person that we said before?
Yeah, exactly, the issue of Suma, exactly what Gemara says in Avim Sof. Yeah.
Right, and it says, like, I don't understand
the
question. Like, in what situation does people eat, like, when do people eat chametz and matzah together?
The answer is, I'm not sure it's together, but the rest of the year, we can eat both chametz and we can eat matzah as well. Because mikra din yilali matzah in the course of the year. So that's what we mentioned, that we eat both, shall we say, I'd say it's a simple pshat, okay, but you obviously want to say something. Go ahead.
No. He is a cool pshat.
What does he suggest?
He says that,
I met him the other day, brings, wonderful fellow.
He brings like the whole scenario back over the days of Beit HaMikdash, that they would bring when someone survived a dangerous situation, they would bring Korban Toda. Right, and part of the
Torah. The verse is about people to hold us.
Right,
what people have to say, Odor to Hashem is
brought. Right, so you have to bring everyone in, and everyone comes together, and everyone eats the Korban Torah together. And part of the mitzvah is that you have like 40 loaves of bread.
Correct.
The only reason I remember this is because I just read it. You say it
no more.
That's
good. You remember? It's excellent.
That there's to be 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them were matzah, and 10 of them were regular bread. So a child that was back in that time, during the Seder time, when everyone was together and everyone was eating all the food together, he would remind him of the Korban Todah. He would ask, like, how come for the rest of the year, like, aren't we supposed to be eating chametz and matzah together? How come we're only eating matzah right now? So
Good. Very nice. Pasha, very nice. Very nice what you just quoted from Rabbi Bernstein. Beautiful. Yeah. But I did want to mention that there's a very famous comment, actually, of the Talmud Gaon. He talks about the significance of the Arba Kosos. And this is very... Notice, by the way, on Pesach night, a lot of things are in numerals of four. Mainly, Dalet Kosos. What else? There are actually five Lashonos of Gula, but we only really focus on four of them. So I'll say the four sons of Dalet Banim.
The matzahs.
And how many? What do we have?
We have three, and then we break one in half. So we have.
But that really is three matzahs. It's not four.
Rav Pincus, I think, talks about how.
Okay,
that counts as one of the four.
Also. But the four is a very. And actually, the first, the Arba Kosos, we know already, we spoke about this actually, and the Dalet Kosos. But the Gong says the Arba Kosos represent four worlds. And the four worlds are Namun Olam Hazen, this world, Yimos HaMashiach, is the second world, Tchias HaMesim, and Olam Haba. And the Kiddush is decided in the first cup, because Kiddush is Olam Hazen, the person has to sanctify himself in this world. That's Kiddush. The second cup is Yimos HaMashiach, and that's why, what do we have in the second cup? Magid, Sivin Tzias Mitzrayim, because it's written, Ki Meitzeis Chal Yeretz Yisrayim, Meretz Yisrayim, which talks about the Yimos HaMashiach. And the third cup is following the Suda, because it corresponds to Tchias HaMesim. Hashem is going to make a Sudas L'Yosef for the Tzaddikim. Someone told me that Lahavdil, of course, I don't think they meant this literally, jokingly. And what is the Sudas L'Yosef going to consist of? Sushi. I don't think the Gemara mentions that as far as I know. Sudas L'Yosef, we're going to the Suda for Leviathan, the great fish.
We got into sushi.
And the fourth cup represents Olam Haba, and after Halal Gadol, that's when we have actually this fourth cup. But it's very interesting that the number four, as I said, is very prominent here in the Haggadah. And actually, I'm not. What was that?
Four questions.
Excellent. The Dalet Kushas, the Dalet Banim, many aspects of four that are really very, very prominent. As I said, prominently mentioned in the Haggadah. I just want to mention something else that I also saw. I wanted to refer you to. On this, we already commented on it, but just since I didn't include this, I'll mention it right now. When we say here, Kol Dichmin Yesev Yechol, Hashata Ochel Lashon Abba Ba'ard Yisrael, I think this is the name of the Ksav Sofer, and he mentioned this. In the Sefer Chomos HaBavos, it's a very beautiful Sefer that you should be familiar with, Bachi Ibn Bekuda, one of the classic Sfarim in... The Magdi Dolei Rishonim, a very important sefer.
What does cover?
What
does cover the other day?
You
read it at Tzfat.
Okay, excellent. So he says actually there are. He talks there about three types of abstinence from luxuries. One is a person who's poor. Obviously, he can't afford anything luxurious. A second person that he can't afford, but he prefers to hold his money in the bank. And the third person is. And he's talking about precious. Precious means when you abstain from luxuries. And the third type of precious, a person who can afford the finer things of life, but he refrains from acquiring them, but he's afraid that if I succumb to my desires, it will lead me astray from Avodas Hashem. So he quotes actually Gemara. The Gemara you should really be familiar with, that's why I'm mentioning it now. The Gemara in Brachas on Yitzayim. Do you call that Gemara? I'm speaking to all the Brachas people.
Which one?
Gemara speaks about. What does the Gemara say about him? The Gemara says, "Kol olam kulon dizon b'shul chanina b'di." Chanina b'di daylo mukam chuv b'me'ar shabbos de'ar shabbos. What did he subsist on? This chanina. It's a shtickle agada over there, so maybe you went through it quickly. Rab Chanina subsisted on what? A small measure of carobs. Boxer used to call it boxer. They used to give out on Tu B'Shvat, and we used to have to break our teeth. On the boxes, when we're in second grade, first grade, and third grade.
Why? What's the?
No, Tu B'Shvat is Hashanah Leilonos.
Yep.
So that's what we're trying to. But this, okay.
Mangoes grow on trees.
To say that. because he mentioned that he was used to subsist on charubim and carobs. That's why the basis of that. But the point is that on Pesach night, a person is obligated to take out all of his finest dishes and utensils, and was supposed to. Decorate the table as beautifully as he possibly can, And yet, when you sit down to eat, what is our meal consisting of? Lechem oni, which is how you translate it, dry unleavened bread. That's what lechem oni is. Obviously, it's not preachers because of poverty. It's also not preachers that's caused by a person who is a miserly person, a niggardly person, a parsimonious person, because he invites others to join him. He said, "Called different yes of the angel." But that's the highest level of precious. Okay, I'm just mentioning that the person has to learn to be mistapik b'guah. Even though Hashem brings us back to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is lo sech sakoba, everything is here. Nothing is missing in Eretz Yisrael. That I can assure you. I myself can testify to the fact that lo sech sakoba. However, you know that Klal Yisrael, to a large extent, when we rebelled against Hashem's Baruch, why did we rebel? Because of luxuries. The pasuk at the end of the Dvarim, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Translate.
Vayishman.
Shman man. They became what? Fat. Or they waxed plenty. And as a result of waxing plenty, they rebelled. Generally, people tend to rebel to Gemara Brachas. So now that we come back to Brachas, of course, what does Gemara say in Brachas? With reference to the Cheda Egel, the Gemara talks about it. And the Agoda again, I'm sorry. Not in the first parak. But which parak is that? In the fifth parak, Einom Din, you call that? Gemara speaks about you must review Maseches Brachos.
No.
I see you have not reviewed it sufficiently.
I started to.
So you will continue, Mitzvah Hashem, over the Yomtiv season. You'll be able to pazer most of Maseches Brachos. You'll probably finish most of it already.
I mean, we just finished the eighth
parak. Oh, eight parak. Wow. Unbelievable. But anyway, what is the key to our return to Eretz Yisrael? The need to be mistapik b'ruach, to be satisfied with a small amount. We don't have to overindulge in luxuries, etc., etc. What was that?
Down
there, it's not
installed.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's like that's the whole point of down there also.
That's right, no question.
People don't want to move here. It's hard to go down to the level.
That's one of the reasons, by the main reason why people don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael, because they are too comfortable in Chatzarts.
Rav Kook talks about it, I think, in his.
Okay, I'm sure they all talk about it. It's a very fundamental principle, and it's also part of this called Dichmi Yesu Yechel. Yeah.
So just back to the topic of like condolence, not eating, not trying to get to see who was it that you saw me like, what is it, cabbages?
No, Rav Chanina ben Dosa. He subsisted on literally carrots. They are Shabbos.
You
weren't designing the base in Brachas, I believe.
So but like on Shabbos when you have what you bring out like nicer dishes.
Shabbos separate
halacha.
Yeah. Shabbos they did call the only Shabbos. It's supposed to be Misane. In the Shabbos, that's why people on Shabbos eat all kinds of very, very, luxurious kind of foods. Not just challah. Challah is based on the balabar. But they have to eat chamin against the stukim. But they held Mosavar, Eish, Bechobo, Shosechen, Yom HaShabbos. They sat in the dark on Shabbos, they didn't have food. So, Kinegan, that stukim, we don't believe in Torah Shabbat, we eat chamin. Chamin refers to challah, or hot food that we'd have to make, especially for Shabbos. That's only Shabbos.
Stukim only in Eretz Yisrael? Because
Mishra Seichem. No, they did that side as well, but... correct, 100% right. Correct, very good. 100% right. They also lived, but they were primarily here in Eretz Yisrael to cause the stars. And they caused the stars throughout our history. Actually, they can't, but still some of them left today. What?
We had one of them in our Seder once.
Okay. But I wanted to go back to the issue of the four. That's why I meant to ask, that's why I asked the question with the... why the multiples of four, as you mentioned, the what do you say, the Dalai Pushos, the Dalai Banim, the Arba Kosos. So the Gom connects it to what you mentioned. What are you mentioning? Arba Tzvichim LeHodos. What's the din? The four people are obligated to say, Hodor Hashem is Baruch. Who are the four people?
Chaim.
When you cross the sea, V'chol HaChaim Yidu Chasol. That's the mnemonic device. That's the Gemara. Where? Where's this Gemara? The Rachis. But where else is it found?
Rachis.
The last parak in Brachas, which you learned, at least that's what they told me. Number one, of course, the sea. Number two,
Cholah.
Cholah means that a person who was sick and was healed. Three,
Yisurin.
One who was
Beis Asurim,
one who actually was in prison. And four, Midbar. One who crossed the Midbar. That's the marker for those who make a bracha when they're in the air. The record of traveling over sea and the like. So the time of Tias Mitzrayim, so this is what the Gaon writes. The Gaon says in Tias Mitzrayim, all of us, we traveled through a midbar. We were in prison. Where was the prison?
Egypt.
We were sick from all the afflictions that we received in Mitzrayim, and we were healed when? At Matan Torah. That's what the Gaon writes, that basically the Yetzias Mitzrayim was a key of Avodat Zechulah. So since we want to stress our obligation to offer thanks to Hashem for all four things, we mention all the other things that are also found in multiples of four. So the Gaon writes, very beautiful, Vilna Gaon, commenting on this. It's a comment of the Klal Yochar. The Klal Yochar has a... The Sefer Klal Yochar, I'm very fond of it. My father was very fond of the Sefer Klal Yochar, but he has another Sefer of Drush called Olos Ephraim. And Olos Ephraim, he has the following comment. He actually explains the four kashas in the following way. Why is this present Golos, which is symbolized by darkness and night, different than any of the other Golios in Lent? In fact, we don't know how long it's going to last. The answer is, there are four bad midos of Klal Yisrael that caused us to be sent in Golos. Number one, listen to this. This is Rush. Shebachah aleinos on ofim chametz matza. What does the word chametz refer to? It's also Gemara Brachos. Now that I'm reminding myself, correct. Sor shebiisa make. Excellent. That Gemara. The end of the first paragraph of Brachos.
Rab Eliezeri.
All the Sefarim, the Klal Yochar.
Rab Alexander.
Correct. Excellent. Wow. Oh. Have to live in St. Louis, Missouri, in order to chazam asachet brachas. But what does chametz represent? So he said that Klal Yochar, chametz represents quarreling, discord, agitation, because the yeast in the dough caused the dough to become agitated, which causes it to rise. What do we call that process? The process of fermentation. Matzah, what does matzah represent? Humility, harmony. So the first reason why we are in Golos, says the Klal Yochar, is because of what? Because we are constantly fighting. Correct? Tonight we are what, shall we say, full of anova, full of humility, full of modesty. We want to completely vanquish discord and internal assign quarrels and any kind of, shall we say, friction between us. Number two. Says the Klal Yochar that refers to the pursuit of materialism. He said, in the parents' Golos, there was not such a longing for money and wealth. People were satisfied with what? Shar Yerokos, simple vegetables, other basic necessities. But this Golos is what? Maror. You know why? Because the person just wants to gather in riches and wants to basically amass material goods that embitters the life of the person who attempts to become wealthy. People have a tendency to, all of us, probably dream about becoming wealthy. We're going to sit back. Once we become wealthy, what are we going to do?
Work.
Alibi. That should be the, let me just finish this point. And, then you'll be, and so that's what many people dream, but often wealth leads to many, many, many contretemps and many problematica in many, many areas. I know wealthy people who suffer from the fact that they are wealthy. What?
Many scams.
Yes, not just in terms of scams, but in terms of a person has to be occupied. A person has to go ahead. The work ethic is a good thing. My father, Shalom, taught me the work ethic. And I've been working for 43 years. Ken Yerbo. And the work ethic is a very good thing. It gives a person a sense of responsibility, a sense of commitment, as opposed to sitting back and lying on a beach somewhere in Palm Springs. I don't know what they go over there.
Mark II is in the
woman's
idol.
Correct. Habatol Savishna. Habatolah Mevila De Shiamum. That's why we have the Chabdal Malacha Sheisha Sedabayla, because otherwise Batol leads to Shiamum. What is Shiamum? The Rabbi used to say that people suffer from two major scourges of mankind. One is boredom, and the other is loneliness. So loneliness, Asa Lezik said, the way to counter that is by getting married. Alkei Yazav Isha Sobe Bezima V'davak V'ishna V'ayu L'basu Echad. That counters loneliness. What?
18.
I would not suggest that. I talked about it the other day. If you recall, do not get married at that age of 18. It will be, the consequences will be horrific. If not horrendous. Before you get, you have two things to say. One, that Joe, hold on to this. I just want to finish the Klal Yochar. And the third Klal Yochar is on the Mishnah that says, B'chal Leilos, what does it say? Einonu Matbilin. Afilu Pamechas, Alayla Azeh Shei Pamim. And all the other gullahs, we didn't dip our food at all. Because what do gluttons do? Gluttons, they serve all kinds of relishes in order to whet their appetites to enhance the enjoyment of their food. In this Golos, though, we have a double portion of Taibas. That's how he understands it. And finally, Shevacha Alelos, Anu Ochlin Ben Yoshim Ben Mesubin. Alayla Zekulon Mesubin. What does that mean? Sitting in a reclining position brings about a sense of gaiva, a sense of haughtiness. So in other galuyos, the day is so active with gaiva, sometimes with humility on other occasions. This galus is all conceit, that we feel kochav yotzim yadi, also liyasachay lazeh. That's how the galuyakar understands these four kashas. A very hamalad kind of way. Wow, is he on target? Let me tell you something. There's a famous galuyakar in Dvarim, beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Let me just finish, and then I will speak first, and then you. And that penu lachem tzafona, beginning of Sefer Dvarim. You have a chumash? You have to see this layakar. Oh, this one over here, the one on. Let me have it. Thank you. You take a look at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. So the layakar comments. Ah, Shabbat. Oi. Yeah, I'll take the quad, I'll finish it. This way we'll be out of your way. Shabbat. A little beginning of Dvarim. I don't have a watch today, so. My watch broke, actually. I was debating whether I should fix it this morning. I decided not to, because then it would involve Mr. Torah. I don't want to be involved in Talmud Torah of other people. What a Kliyaka. I don't know if you're familiar with the Kliyaka. Look at in page 485, pagination 485, in Dvarim. Dvarim Aleph, Pasuk Beis. You must at least become familiar with the Kliyaka. He is mind-boggling. My father was in love with the Kliyaka. He was in love with everyone. I'm just saying, Vayomer Hashem Eli Lemor, Rab Lachem Sova Sahar Azeh, Penu Lachem Tzafona. Says the Klayokra, he quotes a Chazal, but Penu Lachem Tzafona, Hatzpinu Atzmechem. What does that mean? Hide yourselves. What should a Jew do? Should a Jew go ahead and flaunt his wealth? That's what Klayokra speaks about. There's a little sefer, which I'm sure you're not familiar with, but I happen to be familiar with it because until I've spoken. Anyway, so the little sefer written by Yehuda ibn Berger. He was in Gurashay Sfarad. He was expelled from, I didn't forget you yet. He was expelled from Spain in 1492. You know what? He has a theory. He has a little sefer he wrote. He wants to know, why were the Jews expelled from Spain? The golden age of Spain. The golden age of Jewry was in that period of time. You know the Rishonim we have from that period of time? Which Rishonim come during that kufa in the golden age of Spain? The most famous of all the Rishonim. Name it number one. Correct. Number two, the Rashba. Number three, the Ritva. I mean, the whole slew of them. 20 Rishonim, 30 Rishonim. The Golden Age of Spain. And then we were driven out of Spain in 1492. Someone just showed me this morning in my shul that Columbus was a Jew. I don't know if he was Jewish or not. Well, you know, my father had all these witticisms. 1492, Columbus was a Jew who sailed for the British and made Kiddush. So all kinds of fun stuff. They claim that Columbus was Jewish. There's a lot of studies on Columbus. They claim that he was Jewish, Columbus, discovered America. And they have now proofs. They have documented proofs. These are professors. Actually, academia. Academics in Spain and elsewhere.
His name was Christ.
What was that?
His name was Christ.
That I didn't hear. Christopher. Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but I'm just telling you studies that were shown to me this morning on my shtender in my shul about Columbus, and I don't know exactly, there's a whole spate of articles. I didn't have a chance, obviously, to read it, but generally I'm kept abreast of what's happening in the academic world and other worlds, etc., by Balabatim in my shul. But why am I saying this? So he has a theory. His theory reminds me of a famous economist, Thorsten Veblen, who lived actually at the turn of the last century. So he has the theory, which is called theory of conspicuous consumption. You know what that means? People like to go ahead and flaunt their wealth. And that's what Claudius did in Spain. They flaunted their wealth to such a point where anti-Semitism was engendered. That's what his theory is, this little safer. Yehuda ibn Verga, and as a result of that, the, shall we say, how shall we call them, local yokels, the natives, the denizens of Spain became absolutely, unfortunately, not so enamored of the Jewish people. And as a result, we were compelled to leave Spain. We were driven out of Spain because of anti-Semitism that was generated by what?
Us.
By our own, shall we say,
wasn't that Hitler's complaint?
Our own insatiable need to go ahead and flaunt our wealth. That's his theory. You can accept it, you can not accept it. Very interesting, there's a professor at the university. His name was Fritz Baer, otherwise known as Yitzhak Baer. He wrote several volumes that are entitled Tkufat Hayudim Bisfarat HaNotfit. I actually read that. The history of the Jewish people and Christian Spain. And he, we know the plus of this fellow is that he actually marshals a lot of interesting documentation from where? From Chumash of Rishayim, because of Ashba, the Ritva, he's a from guy. And it's very interesting. If you want to, someone told me, if I want to find out what America was like in the turn of the century, or let's say 1940s, 50s, 60s, what should I do? I said, read the English Mesha. Read the Chumash of the English Mesha, and you'll see exactly sociologically what was going on, the questions that were asked of him, and how he responds to the questions. You'll get a sense of what, literally, life was for Jews living in the United States. I mean, that's Kufa. So he did something similar. It's Yitzhak Bear. He went and read Chubas of Ashba. Because there Ashba were thousands of Chubas that deal with life of the Jews in Spain. So this fellow, Yehud ibn Berga, was among the Megurashi Svarad, among those that were banished from Spain in 1492. He has this theory, this thesis, because we were absolutely taken with our wealth, and we literally flaunted it from every standpoint. That's the reason why anti-Semitism was gendered, and as a result, we're driven out of Spain. Wow. But this reminds me of the Klayokar, and this Pasuk, Tunu Lachem Safona, take a look at the Klayokar, Barichus Hatzpinu Atzmechem, hide yourself. When you lead a lifestyle, even though you have the wherewithal that Hashem blessed you with, do not flaunt it. Correct? That is something that, unfortunately, Jews have...
It's a natural thing.
Have to a large extent not carried out. I want to show you another series of psukim now that we're mentioning this. Look and say Bereishis, and then you speak after Ari. I didn't forget you. No, you can. I've got you. Feel free. You recall Yitzhak Avinu? These are the origins of anti-Semitism. Already to the dawn of our history, we see this issue. It's not, unfortunately, a recent vintage. You are aware of what happened when we have actually the. Let's read from Toldos, page 77. Avimelech. First, Yitzhak becomes prosperous after the involvement of Avimelech and the attempted abduction. Vayizva Yitzhak Baratzahi, Pasuk Yitbez. Vayimtza Vashanei Mei Asharei Vayibarchei Hashem. Now look at this Pasuk. Vayigdal Ha'ish. I want you to read carefully, you'd give it. Vayigdal Ha'ish means he what? Yeah, but it doesn't mean growing up in the sense of
rich.
Correct, excellent. Vayelech holoch bigodel ad ki gadal mo'od. Isn't that a striking pasuk? And you described it very well. He became wealthy. He was at an economic
boom.
Upswing. Vayilo mikne tzon mikne bakar v'abuda rabba. Abuda rabba means there was a lot of wealth that he accumulated, and guess what that led to? Vayikano also pushed it. Kino. And that's the story of Jewish history to a large extent. Jews who come to many, many communities. They are Sameach, Rabbi Simcha Kaim Mitvinsk. In Pashas Mechukosai, that's a Meshech Chochma. You should learn that Sefer. After you completed, of course, all the others, namely Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Baal Chaim Shemuel Noach, Amman Lotera, Rashi, Benezra, Chulu. Then you can learn the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma, which Rabbi Kubman Zatzal put out a beautiful edition. Beautiful edition. He annotates everything. So he has a long piece in Mechukosai, which is a frightening piece. He describes Jews. He passed away before the World War, the Rabbi Simcha Kaim Mitvinsk, and he didn't see what happened. Chafetz Chaim already predicted what was going to be, but the Rabbi Simcha writes the following. Jews in Berlin became very wealthy. They were literally reached the heights, both of academia, also in business. They were very successful and prosperous. And they thought, says the Rabbi Simcha, she Berlin, he Yerushalayim. By the way, people in Tinek also think Tinek is Yerushalayim. And the five towns also think the five towns Yerushalayim. And Toronto, they used to call Toronto when I was there, Yerushalayim to South America. People ain't playing. Correct, the same idea, exactly.
Was that part of the Mein Kampf?
I'm sorry? It's not exactly in Mein Kampf, but that was, of course, Hitler's manifesto. But I'm saying that I'm talking about the thinking of Jews in Berlin. They rose to the highest echelons of power in the government, in business. They were leaders in every single area of life. And they thought, says the Meshech Chochma, Amei Simcha Kaim Mitvinsk, Zatzal, Shev Berlin Hi Yerushalayim. And that's why Hashem is Baruch had to remind them that Berlin is not Yerushalayim. Not the Chas Hashom, it should happen not to Tinek, wonderful Jews living in Tinek, and wonderful Jews living in the five towns, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem's Baruch has provided this haven, but this is a constant phenomena. And here, what happened with all the Be'eros that were dug by Avdi Aviv? Sitmon plishtim vayimalo bafar. And then Abbas Avimelech says to Yitzchak, lech meimano. What does he tell him? Goodbye, Charlie. The atzam to bimenimo, you are overwhelming us. And this is the story of Jewish history, which Rameh Simcha describes over there. Okay, you have to speak first, because I held you on a leash for a long time.
What she was saying is every time this year, Jews became comfortable with the land, going back to Spain, going back to Germany, before that year, Jews were kicked out eventually. Now we're in Shalim, so they say, oh, what I was going to say is that, Rami probably knows the famous joke, like, you know when the $1 billion lottery was?
There was one not long ago.
Yeah, oh,
yes.
So this one. So
I did not participate in it. Yes.
So there's a small joke. Everybody was talking about the she was talking about the money and materials. So there's a joke said, I thought, please Hashem, if you give me the lottery, I'll go learn my whole life. Hashem, Hashem probably says, Zach, what do I need you to give me $1 billion? I can give it a coal guy, 1,500 shekel a month.
It's a Gemara in the Dorim. You remind me of the Gemara says, "Yizar ne'adim shemem teitzei Torah." The great Tamechavim of all the generations were not, very few of them were wealthy. Most of them were very poor. And yet, because of their commitment to Limud HaTorah, that's why they became great Tamechavim. So even though there were here and there, in isolated cases, a number of Gedolei Yisrael were very wealthy. But they were really few and far between. Most of the Gedolei Yisrael were those that committed themselves to Limud HaTorah because they understood the value of Torah. Kim Chayir Rechemenu. Even though, ideally, wealth could lead to situations where a person is able to learn Torah with ease. But in most cases, that's not what happens. Yizarim le'anim shemem teitzei Torah is a klal gadol from the Dorim that people who are anim, they're the ones generally who tend to engage in Limud HaTorah. This is Gemara Brachas, so I have to make the Brachas. Gemara says, you know which Gemara I'm referring to? Gemara tells us the following dialogue.
The son of the father.
The Lashon of the Gemara is 1 second. That, don't you know, Shepechami, he saw the guy, his house was charred, was black. Don't you know, Shepechami, Iyata Yodea, Bitzarim, Shatamil Chachom, Mehechadim, Misparasim, Mehechadim, Mizodim. Remember that Gemara? I don't recall now.
The Rosh Hashiva came to the other Rav's house.
That's correct, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He saw his house was black.
Right.
His house was literally, I would say, a havel.
Like coal or something?
Yes, a havel of sorts, because they tell him, don't you understand that Tzara, Tamil Chachamim, and generally speaking, people who learn Torah and who are anin tend to somehow rise to much higher levels than those who necessarily have wealth. And who are preoccupied with obviously preserving their wealth and maintaining their wealth and increasing their wealth. So that's really the sod that is being said over here by the Kleyakar and over there in the Barim, the Kleyakar over here in Oyel Safayim. And the sod in general life that one should be, one has to be mistapi pavua, then one has to be happy. Be happy with what you have. And you don't have to go ahead and run into those and those. Yeah.
2 things. So where was that Kleyakar about the Arba Kashos?
It's in the sefer called Ola Sefrayim. It's a separate sefer. I actually bought it 50 years ago. My father was in love with Kleyakar, and I bought the sefer 50 years ago, and that's when I saw it. I haven't seen that since then, probably. But he has this drasha on the four questions here in the Manishtana. Yeah.
So I have a quick question about Haseba. So
Haseba.
Is Haseba a din in the mitzvos, or is it a separate mitzvah itself?
Oh, Machol Mitzvah Rishayim, there's a whole brisk of on this. Wow. Misha Griz, one of the most famous Shikol Teres in the Griz, the Chavit Samatza. This needs a shear for 100 hours. Based on the Sugi and Karim Zokin. The Gemara says, Hashama Shachal Kizayis Matza, Mesiv in, Lo Mesiv Lo. That Hashama Shir, what time is it right now? I see I'm
11:15.
11:50?
15.
15, no, it's early. Anyway, Hashama Shachal Kizayis Matza, Mesiv in, Lo Mesiv Lo. He does Haseba, he's Yotze. Sounds like if he doesn't do Haseba, he's not Yotze. What's he not Yotze? The mitzvah of Haseba or the mitzvah of Matzah? Machlokes of Hashem. Big Machlokes of Hashem. You want to see this discussion? Chidush Agriz. Do you have a Chidush Agriz over here? We don't have it.
I can go get one.
You can get one.
What did you say it's for sure?
I can't discuss that now because that'll be the end of the shiur, and then we'll just focus on that issue. Lisha agrees, but I don't want to discuss it now because I want to talk about Agada. Right. That's my mandate right now. What? You'll take a look at Lisha agrees. If you learn that Lisha agrees over Pesach and spend 20 hours at it and go through all the Rishonim they discuss it, the Rosh and the Rambam and several other Rishonim, and you say it over to me after Pesach in front of my Shia, or any Shia, or the Yeshiva, what will I do? What will I give you? That would be a little bit.
Hug?
Sure. I will somehow find something to for you that would be a boon. You think you might do that?
I don't have a copy at home. So.
Can you find the chagris over here? There exists one downstairs.
Yeah.
Here's the Haggadah.
One second. You know, here in the Rav's Haggadah, you are actually right. He discusses this. But not sufficiently. According to my humble opinion. One second before you. Did you have this Agada?
Shimi has it.
Shimi has it. Okay, let me just show you where. You can just maybe stop that for a second, whatever you're. So I shouldn't waste your time. We're up to. No, we'll do. We'll. Where's my other Agada? It's right here. Okay. Let's read. After. I saw this, you guys, a whole piece on this, but I'm not going to trouble you with it. The power of Mitzrayim. We have seen Hashem. Okay, now you can put it back on. We already mentioned the evil. We would still be Meshubad, the power of Mitzrayim. Okay, I want to go further. Then it tells over the story that happened. It's actually a Mishnah that happens a bit later. But maybe we'll just read first what happened to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tachlan, Shem Yisudin, B'nei Brak, B'nei Mesav, B'tzias Mitzrayim, B'nei Mesav, B'nei Mesav, correct? They were telling the story of what happened to B'tzias Mitzrayim.
Same thing here, we beat it again. Like,
what was that?
Yes, I
pointed that out. But Mesav, B'tzias Mitzrayim, B'nei Mesav, B'nei Mesav, Shabot, Tamidim, Gamalem, Rabbi Seinu, Higia, I mean, there's a problem that we've shown and asked over here on this Mishnah. Why did Tanoim mention? Why do we have to itemize or delineate all the Tanoim that I mentioned over here? So, the question actually points out that Rabbi Kiva, of course, stemmed from Gerim. He was a Bnei Gerim. The Gemara says that. That's a Gemara, by the way, where? Tanoim? Gemara in Chedah. That he was from Bnei Gerim. And then we look at all the others. Avalazar, Rishua, they were Levim. So you would have thought that maybe these people are not obligated in the midst of Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because they did not participate in what?
The hard labor.
In the Sibir Mitzrayim. A very fascinating that Chazal tells. Rashi quotes it actually. Let me just borrow the Chumash. Take a look at the Chumash for a second. Look at the Chumash in Perakei of Shemos. Rashi quotes this idea. Look at Parakeh, if you have the Chumash in front of you, on page 162. Parakeh, Pasuk Dalet. Here it is, Rashi quotes it. The Pasuk says, Vayom Aleh Melech Mitzrayim, Lama Moshe V'Aaron Tafriya Sa'am Imasav L'chulis Adal Sechem. Why are they bothering the people who are working? L'chulis Adal Sechem, let them go to whatever work they have to do in their homes. Says Rashi over here, L'chulis Adal Sechem. They were not apparently involved with the Shibut. Moshe and Aaron simply came and went at their. I'm sorry? You're correct. They were free to come and go as they wish. So clearly they were not involved. So therefore, there's apparently Avamina that since all these people were essentially calling him. Levim and the like, and they're not involved in the Shibim Mitzrayim. Perhaps they're not obligated in the midst of Sibir Tzias Mitzrayim. That's the Chiddush of the Baal Haggadah, that they were Mesavim Tzias Mitzrayim Kolosa Alayla. And then, of course, as you mentioned, at Shabbat Talmidim Yomalem, Abbasenu Higiyas Van Kriyashma Shel Shachavis. Means that at what point did this occur? When Amud HaShachar, correct, appeared. So even though the halacha is, what does the Mishnah say in brachas? Here we go. That Kriyat Shema, what are the outer limits of Kriyat Shema?
Talmud
Torah. No, that's another Mishnah that you're referring to correctly. The Gemara says that even if you, let's say, miss this man, so you get the Schar Ka'olam, Akari Batara, referring to that Mishnah. But I'm asking you, till when can you read the Kriyat Shema? Till what hour? Ashol Shos. Do you recall that Mishnah? In the first paragraph.
Yeah.
On Basarat Brachas. So therefore, the Man Kriyat Shema is still the third hour. And now they're involved in the study of Torah. So maybe they should continue to become involved in the study of Torah. They should wait to read Kriyat Shema until the end of this man, correct? But the problem over here is that when does the Mitzvah Sivitz Yatzin Shayim end? When does it end? Is that when it ends? Machlokes Tanoim. Machlokes in the Gemara and the Psochim. Machlokes in Psochim and in Zvochim, twice in Shas. Machlokes of Lazim HaZayim and Chachamim. Remember that?
Yes.
You go the whole night and you only go to Chatzos. Correct. That's exactly what we'll get to in a moment. We'll read the Mishnah and the Baal HaGadol quotes actually. So now the Zman Kriyat Shema began. Lachatchila, you should daven Basikin. You should say Kriyat Shema Basikin, which these days is 6:20 and change. So that's when the Talmudim came to stop them. Correct? But if you recall, Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that when this is my Kriyat Shema, that you have to finish it by Hanei Tzachana, Mikra Din. That's his Shita, the Gemara Brachas. And you can't delay. Anyway, the Mishnah, the Raisa now goes on, or the Baal HaGadol goes on, Amar Ozan Azariah. Hari Aniki Ben Shirim Shana B'Zalchisi, Shatel Me'itzias Mitzvayim, Balelos, Ashadosha Ben Zoma. There's a massive problem with this statement that's quoted in the Baal HaGadol. What's the problem with this statement? What is this mitzvah that's being spoken about over here? Correct. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzvayim. As Ma Kesher L'Sipur. Here we're discussing Sipur Yitzias Mitzvayim. And here what is the Gemara that is being cited? Lo Zechiras Yitzias Mitzvayim Mitzvayim Balelos. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzayim. At Shadoshim Mitzvayim Shinema. L'man Tizkos Yom Tzeis Kamer Tzayim Kolim Mechayecho. Mechayecho Yom Kolim Mechayalelos. Racham Momi Mechayecho Olam Azeh Kolim Mechayecho Olam Yosem Mashiach. This is talking about the din of what? Zechiyas Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. Mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's a din which is relevant the entire year. It's not a din that has particular relevance this night more than all the other nights. Why is it found in that brother?
He said it,
yeah. I don't have my glasses. I can't see. Is that my nemesis?
It's smelly, man. He says something.
Yes.
No, he said,
who's he?
About the other Solomon.
Correct. What does he say?
He says the point of this right now is he's talking to Chiras, right? He says, "Labi otan al kavas al mukhlis alayim uskor tanya avadim al karim al chayim." God promised him to be the avadim, and then like the Rambam said, the Rambam says, "Al divori kanok etzam al kevach etim pim yeretz chayim be the avadim." So that kind of avadim part it's focused on, and therefore we have to come to al mukhlis alayim. That's one of the reasons why it's.
I mentioned the other day, a few days ago, if you recall, that one of the famous kashas that is asked on the Rambam, instead of mitzvahs, what mitzvah does he count? The mitzvah Sipur, which takes place once a year, on Leil HaSeder. And the Rambam does not count the mitzvah that takes place every night, which is the Chiyat Yas Mitzvahim. So Rav Chaim Briska is of the opinion, the reason why he doesn't count it is because that obviously is included already under what mitzvah? Andochi Hashem Elokim, Hashem Tzitzir, Meretz Mitzvah.
That's what Ramban.
Correct, Ramban. That's what Rabbi Solomon is saying, essentially. Hashem Shigim Refuah Shleima. And that's what he's saying. But the basic kasha is a very good kasha. Ma kasha between this statement and the Haggadah. The Haggadah talks about the mitzvah of Sipur, and we're talking about the mitzvah of Chiyat Tzitzir Mitzvah. Why is it mentioned over here? That's interesting. There's a girsa, the Rambam, that he has a different girsa than what we have. Our girsa is Omar Avalos Ben Azariah, Harianik Ben Shim Shana. What's the Rambam's girsa in the Haggadah? Omar Lahem, Avalos Ben Azariah. Means he's talking about that he's speaking to the Tanoim that are sitting in Bnei Brak. Means when was this Mishnah, so we say, articulated? That night in Bnei Brak. Because then that's what we're talking about, whether the mitzvah of Zechiah, Sitzias Mitzrayim, is relevant at night time or not. So apparently, that since they're involved in this Mishnah, that's what they learned apparently that particular night. But the question is, why were they being done on the mitzvah of Zechiyah Tzias Mitzrayim and not the mitzvah of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim? So that's what Alex just pointed out. That's what I think Rabbi Solomon Shlita is trying to say. Namely, that even someone who's Osek in the mitzvah of Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim is Yotzi Hizchiyah Vavad of Sibir Siyat Mitzrayim. That's what I think he's pointing out.
He doesn't ask a question exactly. It says, Eich Shai Vesmer Shazul Al Gadosh Al
Pesach. Yeah, that's what we showed him. It's this Kasha.
We didn't answer, right? We still don't know.
We said on the contrary, that's what Rabbi Solomon, that's what Alex quoted, that's what I'm also mentioning to you as well. Apparently, even if you're Oseg in the midst of Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim, that apparently helps you to be Oseg, the obligation of what? Of Sibir Siyat Mitzrayim. What I did talk about was the fact that the Rambam does not count Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim in our mitzvah. The question is, why not? It's a mitzvah without Torah. How do you know it's a mitzvah without Torah? The Sugya of Daf Rochas, Daf Chavalov. What does the Gemara say over there? Sofik Amar Mitzvayatzev. If I have a subject, whether I said MC Yatsev or not, what's the din? What's the aloha? Chosev Elmer MC Yatsev. I have to say it again. The Gemara said, because MC Yatsev is Daraisa. It's a Chiv Daraisa. So you see, the mitzvah Daraisa, MC Yatsev, what is MC Yatsev? It's a Hemshech of what? It's a Chiv Yatsev, it's a Mitzvah. That's what exactly we're talking about. And the Rambam mentions it in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. It's an obligation to mention it's a Mitzvah by Yom Balayla. He quotes the Pasuk, the Matiska, Yom Tzitzvah. But I'm just pointing out to you again that why did the Rambam count this mitzvah minyan mitzvah? The mitzvah chinuch es kasha on the Rambam. Yes, why does the Rambam count the mitzvah of zechiyas yitzias mitzvayim? Why does it only count the mitzvah of sipur? So that's what Rav Chaim commented on. Rav Chaim Brisker said that mishnah bracha in his days, yeah, the machlokes. That's what this balagot is talking to us. The question is, what does Avraham ben Azariah say? You mentioned yitzias mitzvayim balelos. What does Chacham say? Ein maskir. You don't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim Balayla. So what's the machlokas over here? After we bring Ben Zoma, how do you dash in what pasuk? What's the issue? Kol Yemei Chayecha. What's the pshat in that pasuk? You see what goes on over here?
Yeah.
Kol Yemei Chayecha. Correct. Rav Elzman Azaria. What does it come to you, Marbe? Kol Alelos. All the nights are included. Chacham say no. What does it come to you, Marbe? Lovely Masa Mashiach. So according to Chacham, that there's no drasha to be marbe leilos. But the Rosh Hashanah, this pasuk is marbe nighttime. But the Chacham disagree. There's no mitzvah to be masking tzias fine by leilos. So it comes out that there's no drasha according to Rosh Hashanah. Since he dashins from this pasuk, it says what? Call the rabbis, call our leilos. So there's no drasha for the mitzvah of chiyat tzias mitzvahim. It was a Mashiach. Because the Chacham requires, especially Yafusa, it's not the Rosh Hashanah. So that's the case. This mitzvah is not knowing the Masa Mashiach. And that explains why the Rambam does not count this mitzvah of Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim. Why? The Gemara discussed at the end of the first paragraph of Brachas. You have a Gemara in Brachas? That's a Gemara in Brachas.
Yeah.
I want to just read a small piece of Gemara that I assume you must review my seventh Brachas. The Gemara says here, "Daf Yibes and Yibes." Tanya. Omer lehem mezom lechacham b'chimaskir etziyat zayin b'mos haMashiach. Are you going to mention zechiyat etziyat zayin b'mos haMashiach? V'alo kfar nema hine yamin ba'im nu Hashem. B'lo yomru o chay Hashem asher helo es bnei Yisrael b'eretz Yisrael. Lost in love. They're not going to remember what happened in Mitzrayim, but rather what are they going to remember? Chay Hashem asher helo v'ashehevi ezera b'eretz Yisrael b'eretz Tzapona. We came from where? From Bavel. We call our Ratzah Asher Yidachtim Shom. Means, so we're not going to mention any longer Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim. So it may not be relevant in Masa Mashiach. But that's what the explanation is why the Rambam does not count it, because the Rambam only counts mitzvahs that are going to be relevant when? In Masa Mashiach. And this is not going to be relevant. The mitzvah that's also the bottle. The Rambam has the same mitzvahs. That's what I heard from the Afsal Vejim. A mitzvah that's going to be bottle in Masa Mashiach is not going to be counted in the Semiyah mitzvahs. So this mitzvah is going to be bottle. The Moshe Mashiach. That's one answer. He quoted from Rav Chaim. That's what Rav Chaim Brisker said. One answer to this question. There's another answer Rav Chaim gave to this question, what I just told you. That the mitzvah of Zechiyat Siyat Mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah of Kabbalah Zman Shemayim, which we mentioned, you just mentioned it. It's part of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher, Otseisicha, Meret Yisrael, Aser Sadibris. It means that basically it's part of Kabbalah Zman Shemayim. And therefore there's no need to count it in a separate kind of way. It's already included in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. It's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. That's the assumption that Rav Chaim said. Okay, thank you. This is the Gemara right here. You must review. You have to review Moshe many, many times. Just the Pshat, Gemara and Rashi. That's all.
Just started.
Good, yes.
This is about reviewing Gemara. If we
We do like a
Let me just turn this off for this. I'll get to the Agoda. Yes.
We do have
It's on the same topic.